Welcome to the Holy Shit Podcast. Frank and Patsy get together to discuss the issues of the moment. You know, the things that make you say, holy shit. Here are your hosts, Master Hapkidoist, Patsy Zarilla, and Attorney Frank Natel, Esquire.
You know, it's just like that college chick told me. All that you gotta do is just ask them questions and listen to what they have to say and shit.
I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot of work.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Holy Shit, Season 2, Episode 5 for Wednesday, February 5th, 2019. I am your co-host, Patsy Zarilla, and believe it or not, I'm flying solo today, folks. I'm flying solo because Frank Natel, your other co-host, is busy in Barcelona, Spain. He's a little bit vacation, a little bit of soccer for his son, and he's sending me pictures from Camp Nou and watching his son practicing and with everything and making me very, very jealous. So just bear with me today. Don't know if anybody's been paying attention to what's been going on or if anybody really cares about what's happened over the last, let's say, since Monday. But we'll take it in a reverse chronological order. So we'll start yesterday, or rather last night. And that was what some people would call a State of the Union address. I like to refer to it as basically a campaign stop, because this was probably one of the more partisan State of the Union addresses and just displays, I should say, than anything I've ever seen. Everything from refusing to shake the speaker's hand to a lot of his rhetoric to everything that Speaker Pelosi did afterward. And we're going to get into that in a second. But one thing I wanted to talk about was some of the things that our Twitterer in chief said last night at the State of the Union. And basically, let's just sort of fact check it a little bit. And I'm getting a lot of my information from not only the New York Times, but also CNN, Go.com, and one thing that's really going to surprise you, which is not really a source for me, but just the fact that I'm using it should really kind of set you straight and tell you where I've been. Some of the things that our Twitter in chief talked about last night was the economy. His exact quote was, "The U.S. economy is growing almost twice as fast today as when he took office. And we're considered far and away the hottest economy anywhere in the world." Folks, this is 100% completely false. Okay? We expanded at a rate of 3.5% in the third quarter of 2018. Growth in Latvia and Poland were almost twice as fast. The same for China and India. Even Greece had posted a stronger economic growth. Now, granted, Greece had a lot of catching up to do. I mean, they were in poor shape, so any turnaround they had was really going to skyrocket. But even analysts estimate that the growth of the American economy, you know, they slowed down even more than the 3.5% that it did in 2018. It slowed in the fourth quarter even more, and analysts estimate that it slowed even further in the first month of 2019. I think that's sort of a mistake. It probably means 2020, but that's okay. His next statement, "We recently imposed tariffs on $250 billion of Chinese goods, and now our treasury is receiving billions and billions of dollars." Well, that's true. The tariffs on certain Chinese imports rose by $13 billion in the third quarter of 2018 compared with the year earlier. However, technically, that money is paid by us, okay? It's actually paid by the importers and the companies who bring the goods across the border. Then the cost is passed on to the consumer in the form of higher prices. So everybody knows that. That's no fucking big deal. The only people who don't get that is people who are you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. He said, he went on to say, my administration has cut more regulations in a short period of time than any other administration toward this entire tenure. That's false. He didn't. Was actually Reagan that did more than that. However, I wouldn't be proud of cutting back regulations. Okay, I really wouldn't, because I don't know about you, and I don't know how you feel about regulations, but let's be honest. I'm kind of happy there's an FAA every time I step on a fucking airplane. Okay, so you know, let's quit bullshitting. Next one, we have created 5.3 million new jobs, and importantly, added 600,000 new manufacturing jobs, something which almost everyone said was impossible to do. But the fact is, we are just getting started. Flat out wrong. Flat out wrong. January 2017, when this shithead took office, the economy added 4.9 million jobs, including 454,000 manufacturing jobs. So far from being impossible. However, if you look at that rate, that pace of job creation, not nearly what he's making it out to be. He did say that wages were growing for blue-collar workers that he promised to fight for, and they are growing faster than anyone thought possible. That is true. I will give him that. That is true. Manufacturing and construction, the pay apparently has gone up. Service, it has not. Okay, service workers, it has not gone up. It stayed pretty much stagnant. However, it is true that construction and manufacturing workers are going up. So give them credit for that. More people are working now than any time in our history. That's a bit misleading since we have more people. So it's the number of people working in the U.S. is higher than ever, but it's not because of policies. It's because there's just more people here than there's ever been. And when you have a low unemployment rate, and we do have a low unemployment rate, it's been steadily low since Obama is, you know, pretty much his second term, and it's been low ever since. So yeah, technically it's correct, but it's extremely misleading. Whenever he started talking about immigration, he started talking about El Paso. The border city of El Paso, Texas used to have extremely high rates of violent crime, one of the highest in the entire country, and is considered one of our nation's most dangerous cities. Now, immediately upon its building with a powerful barrier and fence, barrier in place, El Paso is one of the safest in the country. Total complete bullshit. El Paso was never one of the most dangerous cities in the U.S., and crime has been declining in all over the place since 2010. All right, so come on, folks. San Diego used to have the most illegal border crossings in our country. Again, that's kind of this misleading. Border apprehensions decreased by 91% in San Diego in like 1994 to 2018. But according to the Congressional Research Service, the offense alone did not have a discernible impact on the number of immigrants crossing the border into the U.S. So, as next one, as we speak, large organized caravans are on the march to the United States. And again, well, this one's exaggerated, okay? And here's the thing I don't understand. If we have all these caravans, do they just like disappear at some point whenever they go so far? And then they just like disintegrate, right? Because you never hear of what happens to them after, oh, there's a caravan coming, and then nothing happens. Nothing ever happens. Why not? Why doesn't anything ever happen? He went on to talk about foreign policy. Basically everything he said about foreign policy was a fucking lie. One of the things he said, if I had not been elected president of the United States, we would right now, in my opinion, be in a major war with North Korea, folks. We can't be in a, there's no. You don't sit there and say, calling somebody Little Rocket Man and bullshit like that and say you're the reason that they're not shooting bombs at us now. He went on about, then he started talking about abortion.
where he I can't believe he said this on the floor of the United, in Congress. I can't believe he said this. His quote was, "We had the case of the governor of Virginia where he stated he would execute a baby after birth." What? The governor, Ralph Northam, said that he did support a late-term abortion bill that would loosen restrictions on abortion procedures, and it would allow women to consult with a doctor on an abortion up to but not including the time of birth. Why do I take Governor Ralph Northam's word for it? Because he's a pediatric neurologist. That's why. That's where his degree is in. So this clown has no fucking idea what he's talking about, okay? There were a few more. I just went over a couple. But one of the things that I found really, really, really interesting was whenever you saw all of this, and you know, every time somebody does a speech like this, it gets fact-checked. Every single time it does. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be Obama. It could be, you know, this shithead. It was Reagan. It was Carter. It was Clinton. It was, you know, go down the line. Both Bushes, they're always fact-checked. Unless you decide to check out Fox Entertainment, where their headline of the morning was, "Bizarre State of the Union, quote, fact checks falls flat as media is accused of nitpicking." Really? It's crazy. It's crazy that we have something that just decides that they're just going to be a mouthpiece for a party. It's ridiculous. You should be, you know, you want to take sides, you want to lean conservative, you want to lean liberal, you want to do whatever you want, that's fine, but don't be a motherfucking mouthpiece for something. Come on, folks. Come on, this is crazy. Not to be all done with the shenanigans, before he even started his speech, our Twitter-in-chief decided that he's going to award Rush Limbaugh with the Medal of Freedom. Do you believe this shit? Rush Limbaugh gets the Medal of Freedom during the State of the Union address. Let me put everything in perspective. Let me read a few of Limbaugh's most, let's just say, colorful quotes. I'm taking this from News One. They have a huge article about it. Shouldn't come as a shock to you. Just let me read a couple of these things to you, okay? We can start off with, have you ever noticed how all composite pictures of wanted criminals resemble Jesse Jackson? Let's go on. Look, let me put it to you this way. The NFL often looks like a game between the Bloods and the Crips without any weapons. There, I said it. The NAACP should have riot rehearsal. They should get a liquor store and practice robberies. Okay? Now this is the guy that just got the medal, right? This is the guy, and I'm just reading this shit to you, right? Who just got the Medal of Freedom. This is what he says on the air, folks. I don't give a shit how bad you think I am, right? And I just got a garbage mouth. Listen to this guy. There was an African-American female caller on the phone, and he told her, "Take that bone out of your nose and call me back." He referred to Obama as a African-American, H-A-L-F-R-I-C-A-N, African-American. Referred to him as an affirmative action candidate. Also referred to him as Barack the Magic Negro. Again, let me say it again. All right. Medal of Freedom. This clown got the Medal of Freedom. You know who deserves a posthumous Medal of Honor? James Earl Ray, the confessed assassin of Martin Luther King. We miss you, James. Godspeed. I am not kidding you. Can go on about Latino quotes. He had a few of them. Chavez is a Chavez. We've always had problems with him. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing that that the president of the United States gives this guy the Medal of Freedom. I was shocked. I was stunned. This guy deserves a Medal of Freedom like nobody ever, right? They're, you can't do it. You literally cannot give this guy the medal of anything. You simply cannot do it. And this clown did it and didn't even think twice about it, because he looks at this shithead as a mouthpiece for his base. He looks at this shithead for the, and I'm sorry. I know the guy's dying of cancer, right? However, he is dying of self-inflicted cancer. Okay, he truly is. This is the guy that chose to not believe the facts, who chose not to believe that this stuff, that smoking these cigars and doing all this shit will cause cancer. He chose not to believe facts. And now he's at what, stage four, I think it is. He's going to die a horrible, miserable death. He really is. He's going to suffer a great deal. And I'll be honest, I feel bad. I've seen people and I've heard about people who go through it. It's not good. And no one should go through this. Really, no one should. But it's really, really hard to look at this and see what this guy is doing and have any kind of sympathy for him. It's truly mind-boggling. And then this guy gets a medal, gets an award from the president of the United States. All of these shitheads should be ashamed of themselves. Every single one. Not to be outdone. The Speaker Pelosi, just, I don't know if you caught the end of the speech, but as he's walking in and he hands, you know, the vice president and the speaker, I don't know what it is. They're folders basically. And I think it just has the speech in it so they can follow along. There might be some other paperwork in it, but I really don't know. It's courtesy to shake hands of the vice president and the speaker. He refused to shake Nancy Pelosi's hand, even though she did extend the hand to do it, which again, to me, shows his cowardice, right? It shows this little boy's cowardice, this little boy trying to be a man. At the end of it, which I'll be honest, folks, I wasn't very fond of this. Speaker of the House, whenever the after the speech is over, after the State of the Union speech is over, rips the copy of the president's speech. She just stands right behind him and just rips it in half. And actually was in a couple of piles and just rips it all in half. I understand why she did it. But this is something he would do, right? And you know, you don't do that. I mean, I'm sorry. I understand why she did it, but basically they swap snubs, right? You know what they say about arguing with an idiot? Did you ever hear this thing? You know, you never argue with an idiot because they'll drag you down to their level and then beat you with experience. Okay. This is pretty much the same thing, folks. Okay. She should know better. She's been playing everybody around her, all these clowns, like a fiddle. And I've never seen something like that. And to be honest, Claire McCaskill said it best. She said the ripping wasn't her favorite move, but it was a speech that was full of lies. Yeah, it was. However, you know, I've always made the argument from day one. You have to respect the office. And even if this clown is not doing it, you want to go after him and you want to attack him, you go right ahead. All power to you, because this clown deserves everything he fucking gets. But this still was as the office of the president. I'm sorry, I simply do not agree with Pelosi doing that. She wanted to make a statement, and she made a statement, and it was a bold statement, and it was an effective statement. However, you know, I think it's going to overshadow the bullshit that I just read off to you at the beginning, right? All the lies that came at the beginning of it. I think this is going to overshadow it. And I don't think that it was, I think if she had the chance to do it again, she probably wouldn't. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer had the Democratic response to the State of the Union. And it was boring as hell, folks. I mean, I'm sorry it was. I like where she's going with it, and I like where she went with it. She really went back to, you know, it was the idea of going back to the kitchen table subjects, right? And that's exactly what she did. She said Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats passed a landmark bill on equal pay, another bill to give 30 million Americans a raise by increasing the minimum wage, and groundbreaking legislation to finally give Medicare the power to negotiate lower drug prices for America's seniors and families. This is from Vox, VOX, I'm reporting from then. All things that the Democrats should be pounding on, should be harping on, all the things that I think the Democrats really need to just pound home every single day. Forget the sideshow, the entertainment, the bullshit that you see with this guy, and focus on things that matter to people. And I think whoever does that is going to win. You know, you Trump is a, you know, he is a large life personality, right? And he's skilled at pushing people's buttons. And you know, he's a reality show guy, right? So he knows all the antics and everything. Don't get into that. Don't play that shit. You're going to lose. You're going to lose every time. Okay. Go back to what got you there. Go back to where your strength is. And that's taking care of families, taking care of people. That's where you're going to be strong. And that's where you're going to score points. And how do we know that? Well, man, I wish Master Grant was here, because this is a perfect segue, right? Look at that debacle that was the Iowa caucus. I know, kind of an odd segue, right? But who won? Well, who is winning? Right? Pete Buttigieg. Why? Well, I make the argument that Pete Buttigieg is talking about the same things that who would have been Senator Obama's things that he was talking about, not specifically, but in the general sense, things that people who come home at night after work and you know, who are sitting there talking with their spouse or their partner or whatever, and they're talking about things that affect them. Okay, how Trump acts and the whole you know, giving Rush Limbaugh the medal, well, it's a bullshit move, and it has a reflection of his character, and that's something that can't be overlooked. I'm not trying to blow it off by any means, but that, things like that by themselves aren't things that people are going to vote on. Not normal people, anyhow. I'll vote on that, but I'm a martial artist. We think differently. People are going to look around in their house, and they're going to look at their checkbook, if they still have one, because everything is online now. And they're going to look at their life, and they're going to look at their children, and they're going to see, you know, is my son or daughter a junior or senior in high school? Are they in college? You know, like mine is in college. What's this burden going to be for them? What are they going to be seeing? What are they going to be facing? Can we make our car payment this month? Do we have enough money for groceries? You know, how much were the prescriptions this month? Do I have to go see a doctor? You know, all of these things. And these are the things that Buttigieg is talking about. And guess what? He's winning. I mean, right now, he's the guy out front, right? And this is Iowa. Okay, Iowa's Lily White, and Buttigieg is Lily White. And if he was in a Southern Baptist church in Louisiana, he wouldn't know what the hell to do. He'd be like a deer in headlights. I get that. And it's a valid point and a valid argument. However, we're not in Alabama or Mississippi. We're not anywhere south. We're in Idaho. I'm sorry, Iowa, right? What happens if Buttigieg starts building momentum? Now, I'll be honest. When it comes to his message, I like it. I like it a lot. I really do. I like it far better than Bernie's. I really. God, I don't want Bernie to win. I'll vote for him if he does, but oh God, I don't want him to. I think he's, well, there's, I won't get into it. I don't have very high opinion of Bernie. I like the stuff Klobuchar says, but I don't think that she's presidential material. I think Elizabeth Warren has far too big a credibility problem. And honest to God, Joe Biden looks like he's beat up. He's looking and acting, and his fundraising is reflecting. He just looks like he's beat up. Trump beat him up bad with the whole Hunter Biden thing in the Ukraine. Beat him up bad. And it took a toll on Joe. And I think the big toll wasn't Trump directly, but because he didn't know how to handle it. One of my biggest problems with this whole thing now, you know, as I kind of shift gears and get into the caucuses, especially the Iowa caucus for a minute, and, you know, I want to wrap this up here pretty quick because it seems like I didn't take a breath. But the fact of the matter is, first of all, caucuses are a complete fucking joke. Let's just start there. And I know I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit, but I don't understand how a caucus can even be legal, and I'll tell you why. Whenever you have somebody who is eligible to vote, that is registered to vote, that is has no reason not to, that they haven't forfeited the right, but they can't vote because, I don't know, maybe they work two jobs, right? They get done, they start at 8 o'clock in the morning, they get done at 4, then have to be at the other job at 5. You can't get into caucus. There's no absentee caucuses. What if you're an only parent and you have kids? What are you going to do? Have somebody watch your kids? You could be there for 4 or 5 hours. It's just a very non-democratic way of doing things. So I think caucuses should be abolished. That and the fact that the Democrats have far too many people running still. Still far too many names running. I rattled off 4 of them, right? 5 of them, actually, if you count Buttigieg. I rattled off 5 names. They should be down to 2 now, folks. Okay, they got to streamline. They got to win. They can't be worried about slapping each other too hard whenever they're playing hot hands. They have to start punching people because Trump's punching them. And he's going to, and he's going to continue to. I think it was James Carville on Ari Melber's show last night that said something along the lines that like 18% of the population votes for 51% of the senators. Okay. That should tell you all you need to know about what you need to do to win. All right. It's awful what the Democrats are doing. And then it was this debacle with the caucus. I made a statement to a friend of mine earlier today that, you know, it's really difficult to have faith in a party or the people running in that party whenever their first time at bat, they can't get their leadoff batter up to the plate because they couldn't find it, because they got lost on their way from the dugout to home plate, which is exactly what the Democrats did in the Iowa caucuses. And then I saw the the argument, but you know, that 4 years ago, the Republicans, the same thing happened to them. And I'm thinking, then why the fuck did you repeat what they did? Look what they got. You know, look how this whole thing went for them. Why would you do that? Why would you look at, you know, you see somebody walking across the street, they get hit by a bus. Okay. What, do you just shrug your shoulders and walk across the street and get hit by the bus too? Right. And your argument is going to be, well, they did it. Well, it doesn't make you any less dead. You know? Democrats are dropping the ball, folks. Democrats are dropping the ball. And I'm telling you right now, this shit keeps up, Trump's going to win again, and he's going to win big. They're going to lose houses. They're going to lose votes in the Senate. And they'll probably keep the House because I don't think there's enough votes in the House. There's enough seats up to for the Democrats to lose the majority. But come on, guys. You don't start winning an election in July, right? You start winning an election last July, not this July. I don't have a lot of faith in what I'm seeing from the Democratic Party right now. I really don't. I told a good friend of mine that this morning. I really think the Democrats are in trouble. I don't like what they're doing. They do not look like they have any direction, any leadership. They don't look like they have anything. Maybe I'm wrong. If so, please let me know. Comment. Please comment. Please let me know what you think. Let me know what you want to hear. Tell me if you liked it, if you didn't. But until then, I think I'm going to wrap this up. I actually talked for a while. I'm pretty impressed. Usually, you know, Frank does most of the talking, right? And I kind of sit back and say something pretty clever, pretty stupid, or something just, you know, colorfully ignorant. And then we go on our way and we go to the next topic. So, you know, hey, I'm kind of proud of myself. It's not nearly as good as when Frank's here. Believe me, it's not. You guys know that. But still, I want to thank all of you for joining me today. Your time is very valuable, and the fact that you're willing to spend some of that time with me means a great deal. I cannot wait for next week, whenever, you know, Frank will be back, or he's going to have somebody in his place. I can't remember if he's there for, he might be there for 2 weeks, so he might be gone again next week. I'm going to have to find out. But in any case, tune in next week and find out, right? Same bad time, same bad channel. If you're too young, if you don't understand that you're too young to listen to this podcast, boy, I'm screwing things up left and right. It's the way it is whenever you leave me alone, right? I should never be left alone. My wife will tell you that. The last thing she wants is for me to be left alone. Things go to hell. But until next week, folks, be safe. Goodbye. Good luck. And God bless.
Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
What a filthy job.
Could be worse.
How?
Could be raining.
Thanks for listening to Holy Shit with Frank and Master Patsy. If you like our show, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to support us on Patreon. Join us again next week when we discuss the next thing that made us say, Holy Shit.